lesson comes from Alexander Yanai, the lessons that Moshe taught to the public that would come to his studio in Israel. And he begins this lesson with some very scientific, in-depth conversation about the use of oxygen in the human body. I will not get into all of that. I will give you the highlight, which is part of what he talks about is how much adults sometimes struggle with this idea of ideal weight. Either feeling that they need to gain weight or they need to lose weight, and how the process, the mechanism of how we burn calories, oxygen is the main function that helps basically break up the things in our food so that they become bioavailable. And what he sums up a lot of this conversation about how oxygen works in your entire body is that the more efficiently you breathe, the better you will digest food, the easier it will be for you to find whatever for you is your, quote, nearer to your, quote, ideal weight. So that's just an aside. We're not going to talk about that while we're doing the lesson, really, but it's an interesting thing that he brings in before really this very elegantly simple, like architecturally simple lesson, why we would spend so much time being aware of these intricacies of the breath. And though his comments are mostly about weight in the beginning and that exchange of how we break down our food, the takeaway is that the better we breathe, the better every process of every function of the human body is improved when the breathing is improved. So, yeah. So, let's get into it. Let's get deep about breathing.
I got pulled over.
Oh, that's so. Oh, sorry about that.
Oh well.
Yeah. So first, just sense yourself on the floor. We won't do a big scan or get very detailed. You have arrived in a certain way. Your breath is happening in a certain rhythm. Your contact with the floor is one that may be familiar or unique, depending on the circumstances of your morning, your week, what's happening for you right now. And then I'll just encourage you to bend your knees and stand your feet. Again, you are welcome throughout this lesson, which will predominantly be about sensing the breathing, to move your legs in the way that allows your back to be the most comfortable. The invitation for this lesson is to have a bent knee and a standing foot, but you can lengthen the legs when you like. You can lengthen one or the other. You're invited to explore how to make yourself the most comfortable so that you can really bring your focus to your breathing. So that said, you are breathing in some way. There may be a way that you are breathing that draws your attention, either the initiation of the inhale, some sensation of how your chest moves, or how the air feels coming into your nose, something about it. Can capture your attention. And just notice what that is right now. It may be different later. And now, anatomically on our right sides, you have three lobes of your lung on the right side. So right now, move your attention. I love this idea that we can move in our thinking. So move your attention to your right upper lobe. This will mean that as air comes in, the collarbone may rise both upward towards the face and in relation to the room, upward towards the ceiling, so forward of you. You may feel more pressure down towards the floor or towards your back, behind your shoulder blade. Outward towards the right, into the armpit. Possibly, you can even, sometimes it's more, again, of a thought than a feeling, but play with this line between thinking and feeling, that as the right upper lobe inflates, it actually comes somewhere towards the right spine. So somewhere just below what you might call your neck, that lung is inflating. In any place it is allowed to come. It's an interesting thing about breathing that we often have an idea that the air comes in and moves the chest. But the truth of how breathing works is the chest moves, the muscles create a space. They create a vacuum that draws the air in. So without power, without efforting or making the inhale strong or the exhale strong, still play with this idea that what you are doing is making room for the air to enter. And you're making room in every direction. Like a balloon inflates. Every angle, vector, that space can widen, deepen, lengthen. You're allowing for that space in the upper right lobe that invites the air to come and fill it. A way to make, this is sort of the opposite of what we did in Trace's lesson, where we were turning our hands and pausing the breath, that there's a smooth and gentle transition between the inhale and the exhale. So the air just comes in simply, and then when it leaves simply. There's no needing to fill or continue to inhale past when the inhale is simply done, and the exhale just follows. And there's no need to prolong the exhale or push the air out. You just exhale for the amount of time you exhale, and the air comes in again. So we're looking for this kind of soft, fluid way to transition between the filling and the emptying that is still focused on allowing the air by letting the chest, the shoulder, the side of the neck, the armpit to become wider, deeper, longer, and then to let that go. So now again, just pause, let your attention be rested for the moment. floor. Your breathing just continues on its own without any particular focus. And then move your attention to the bottom lobe. So there are three, right? There's the three lobes. The lower lobe on your right side has some very interesting dimensions. It actually wraps around your liver in certain ways. So you have all these, complex sort of terrain of the inside of your organs. And yet, again, as the chest, the ribs, and all of the both the soft parts of your belly and the ribs move to allow that lower lobe to become full, we don't have the same kind of innervation of nerves around our organs that we do, say, in the surface of our skin or other parts of ourselves. But you can again imagine that lobe, that lower lobe, is inflating behind towards the floor, behind the liver, perhaps even moving the lumbar just ever so much down towards the floor as it fills. So the curve of the back becomes less as the air comes in. And it moves out to the side, to the right of you. It comes forward of you, towards the ceiling. And again, more thought and imagined than perhaps felt, but thinking and imagining, it moves towards the spine. I think there's an interesting idea that Feldenkrais uses in some of his breathing lessons, that the breath can caress the spine, right? So many of us feel certain kinds of tension in our backs, or sometimes discomfort at certain levels of our spine, depending on who we are and what we do. But there's a way in which the breath is a continuous action that brings not only oxygen and refreshes the blood, but the potential for movement, a very gentle sort of flexing of those parts of ourselves that can really be soothing to that system. So imagine your lungs are just caressing the spine on the side. And then pause again, let your attention become wide, diffuse, non-specific, rest the attention. Attention to the breathing on the right side, and we'll think about the middle lobe. And the middle lobe is somewhere you have probably defined for yourself that the upper lobe, it towards the side, the level of you is somewhere at the shoulder, perhaps just above the breast. The lower lobe is closer to the waist. So the middle lobe is somewhere in between. So think, feel for yourself, where does that third bronchi come through? Where is the middle of that? And how you may feel that lung is both that it is widening you at that level of your ribs towards the floor and upward towards the ceiling, so forward and backward of yourself. It's increasing the depth of you there. Also widening out to the sides as you inhale. So to the right it moves, and towards the spine it moves. And then think especially about the length. Part of what that middle lobe does, in fact, is press upward towards the upper lobe and downward towards the lower lobe. So part of what that middle lobe does is actually move the other lobes upward and downward, and it lengthens your side. So ever so slightly, in a very small and gentle and subtle way, your hip moves away from your shoulder. It's a very interesting part of how our hip joints work and how our shoulder works, that having space between them, length between them, helps support an ease of their function. They need room to move. And part of how you find that room can be with your breath. And now also bring your attention to, again, some amount of feeling and thinking, imagining a combination of those actions, that the air is coming into the nostrils. You may feel as the air comes in, it becomes a little cooler. And then it's going to pass, when it comes in the nose, it passes over the top of the upper palate of your mouth. So the curve of the roof of your mouth, that dome, is the underside of where the breath moves. And in some ways you can use your attention to your breathing to describe that arc for yourself, to sense that inner landscape of the architecture above your mouth. And then it comes to the back of your mouth, your throat, comes down your throat. Again, you can use the feeling. It might be temperature. It might be a difference in humidity. These are subtle, subtle feelings, and yet ones that we can attend to looking to discover, to feel the shape of your throat, its length, its width, its depth. And behind that shape is your spine. Again, another place that you can think about the breath helping to discover that how it makes some kind of contact with the structure that is your spine. And then it continues down into your chest until it meets those three trachea branches and goes into the upper, the middle, and the bottom lung. So in whatever way you can hold a bigger sense of that picture, look for a feeling of this internal kind of, you know, sculptural shape that is inside of the nose, above the palate, down the throat, to the three branches of the lungs, and into those three lobes. interesting that as you consider that shape, it is constantly changing. Unless you are holding the breath, that shape is never static. And then pause again, let your attention rest. Sense yourself on the floor. And then if you'd like to refresh the way you're resting, since it's been a long time on the back, rest in whatever position seems to you right now to be a change. After this brief pause, if it is comfortable, you are invited to come up to stand. If coming up to stand does not sound very comfortable or appealing, you can be where you are. But if you come up to stand, just simply find a place where you can stand on the floor and for a few breaths in standing, simply feel the upper lobe. How is it different when you change gravity to invite the air into that upper right side? Now you have the weight of the arm that's underneath that lobe. But you still may feel how you can change the shape of yourself there in a way that draws the air in. And perhaps the arm can even, again, it might be a feeling or it could be an idea, but the arm floats a little more. The arm is supported. The arm has weight, but air has buoyancy. And then switch your attention to the lower lobe. And how in standing, not only may it feel different, but that your sense of the directions may be different. What's it like to think about filling this upper part of your waist? Do you have a different idea of how the breath moves towards your spine? Or where forward and back of you is? And then the middle, think about the middle. You can, if you want to take a few steps or refresh your stance, you're always welcome to do that. But consider the middle lobe. And again, this idea of lengthening that ever so slightly, in a very small and subtle way, the hip and the shoulder come away from each other in order for the air to take up that space. Just a few steps around, feel what it's like to walk a little. That feels, if you feel any difference on the right or the left, bringing yourself over one foot or the other. Turn a little to the right and the left, and notice if turning feels different in one direction or the other. And then find your way back to your mat. You can lie down again. you've spent so much time acquainting yourself with this inner landscape, with the ways that you sense these three lobes. Perhaps you've found some are easier than others for you to feel clarity about, some form of clarity about, or perhaps you've noticed that length or width or depth, that one of those directions is easier than another to attend to. We'll just briefly explore the opposite before we end the lesson. So you'll begin with that upper lobe on the right, but now you're going to shift your attention to not as the air comes in, but how does the air leave? How does the lung sort of peel itself away from those inner structures and become smaller so that the air goes out of the throat, the over the top of the roof of the mouth, and out the nose. So again, you don't need to push or make it more so, but simply attending to that moment of when the filling has ended and the emptying begins. So the sensation of the collarbone coming a little bit more towards the middle of you, down and in, the armpit releasing just gently, coming a little bit inward, closer to your spine, towards your middle, the length becoming softly lessened, the chest coming towards your middle, towards the floor, the pressure of the shoulder blade lightening again as it comes more towards the forward of you. And then it's just soft. The air leaving this lobe is a softening of all of those structures that invites the air to exit. Notice the feeling in the jaw and the face and the front of the throat. And again, at each exhale, it is potentially an invitation to soften. Soften the jaw, the ear canal, the eye sockets. And then let your attention rest, become more diffuse. And when you are ready to return again, think about now the lowest lobe. It's closer to your waist. Connected to some of those organs like the liver. It really cushions around some places and fills in areas of that top of your belly, start of your waist, and feel it just soften inward. And not, it doesn't powerfully is it drawn inward? There are certain activities that we do where we would intentionally, powerfully draw inward at that area of ourself to create certain actions. But right now, what you are feeling is just that that area can become very, very still and very soft and just kind of come towards your middle. And as it comes towards the middle of you, towards your spine, the air is pushed up to the trachea, to the throat, comes over the roof of the mouth, out the nose, and again describes a shape of that inner landscape. That would be a more forceful version. And laughing as well. A more forceful version of that middle getting smaller to push things out. But so softly, you're still attending to that. And then let your attention rest again. It's always an interesting thing to me that though we don't seem to be, quote, doing anything, it's a lot of attention. It's a lot of attention in a way that we don't usually sustain in our day-to-day life without changing it. So there's a way in which this is a kind of endurance practice of attention. So don't forget that even your attention deserves rest and that you honor the resting of your attention. That there's no goal to being the one who can pay attention the longest. Right? You're finding out how to make this experience enjoyable because that's how we learn. So when and if, right, with that in mind, when and if you are ready to return your attention to that middle lobe. And softly discover for yourself, you might even want to play with this idea that you bring your attention in for a breath or two, and then you let it rest for a breath or two, or however long you actually can decide how you feel like your learning is becoming the most satisfying to you. Do choose the times that you choose to attend to that middle lobe. Again, you're feeling how that middle lobe is ceasing to lengthen your right side. It's just letting the lengthening go. And it's ceasing to press a little upward towards the right lobe and downward towards the bottom lobe. And so the upper lobe and bottom lobe have a little less pressure against them as well as they empty. And this level of yourself softly draws inward, spineward, centerward. By just being, having the air leave. And now let your, whatever part of that process you are in how you're attending to yourself, again, just let it rest. And we're at the end of the lesson here now, and you can just take your time before you prepare to come up to stand. And as you take a little time, I'll just suggest that one of the things I really enjoy and find very satisfying about certain Feldenkrais lessons is, again, that the architecture, the sort of underpinning of the lesson, is really quite simple. And it's memorable. So I think that one of the things that we get to really sort of soak up in this practice and enjoy going forward into our week when we have a once a week class is, what will you remember? And it might be the whole structure of the lesson. Okay, this was really just the lungs on the right, and there are three lobes, and we did the top, the bottom, the middle. And first it was inhaling on our backs, then we felt inhaling and standing, and then some exhaling on the back. And that's really it. That's the whole lesson. Or it might have been a particular quality for you, something about thinking about the depth or the width or the length, or something about the feeling of the shapes of the inner landscape. Whatever it was for you, think of something for yourself right now that for you was meaningful, satisfying, interesting, that you want to remind yourself of later so that you can enjoy it some more later. And I will also invite you that if in the coming week you feel like playing with either a little part of this lesson or that kind of simple architecture of this lesson on the left, you might have a very different experience or a very similar experience. But one thing to know about the left is there are only two lobes. You can still play with that third idea of lengthening, but our internal structures are not symmetrical. So if you decide to play with the left and you're really interested in that idea of what are the structures you really could feel, there are two lobes. And with that, I will just welcome you in your own time and as you like, to roll in a place you want to be, or to stand, or sit, or whatever you like.
I didn't know about
the three and the two? Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I also, anytime we do the division, I feel like there's a lot of mass on the right, and a lot of loading on the left.
On the left. It's actually, there's a... you could say there's a lot of accuracy and reality in the thing that you sense, because our liver being on the right, we are heavier on the right side of ourselves than the left. And it is an idea that part of the reason why mammals will get lost, where, right, you talk about people being snowblind and they go in circles, we go to the right in circles. Because when we can't orient our direction visually, we lean to the right a little bit because we're heavier over there.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and it's not just people who do it. Horses do it, cows do it. They've tracked mammals who do this kind of getting lost. It can happen in the ocean too, right? Anytime you don't have this thing to right yourself, you'll go in some degree of circle to the right.
What about blind people?
I think that that's something that they also have to learn through, and that's why canes or other kinds of feeling or a lot of like listening, right, that kind of echolocation sort of stuff, that they have to continue orienting to the environment in order to not just go a little to the right.
I had this question about mirror twins a long time ago. makes me wonder about that again. If they have a